right, kids, welcome to episode number foreskin. I like to say foreskin of the Wheeze Family Circus. And this show, we're going to bring in one of my greatest partners on the radio of all time. Boy, did we have fun back in the day. And then he went to the big time, to the big cities. That cat is BJ Shea. But let me just tell you, he'll be on in a minute. But let me just tell you that this show is brought to you by Clark Peskin. You know, I talked about them often because they're a great family law firm, divorce. But now Kevin Clark will help you get an estate plan. And that is very, very important. Completely important. If you own a home, just know a will isn't enough. And I'll tell you later how you can go to a free seminars. And free, and you can learn everything because people are very uneducated about
estate planning, wills, trusts, everything.
So, at this point, Jake, you with me, my brother?
I'm with you. I'm waiting for BJ to come in.
It's GJ. BJ the Hedgehog Shay. He's going to pop up magically.
Yeah, we'll as soon as he comes in.
Well, wait. BJ is in Super Bowl heaven. That's right. Yeah.
He lives in Seattle.
BJ is in Seattle, the probable winners of the Super Bowl. I hope.
He's part of the grandpa club now, bub, like you.
Oh, yeah. He's a grandpappy.
I wonder what his grandpappy name is.
Stop touching your microphone.
Oh, sorry.
So, listen, while we're waiting for BJ, we have obviously a technical difficulty. There's so much to talk. Let me just mention that we're recording this on Sunday. Last night, Lucy's first boyfriend was in town, Jimmy Fallon. But here's what I want to say about Jimmy Fallon. Lucy went, I'm on Facebook. Every douchebag in town ran out to meet Jimmy Fallon. That guy must be a saint. He took a picture with every douchebag that asked for it, and they're all on Facebook.
He seems like such a nice guy, and I don't think
what a guy.
He was so sweet.
Really?
Where did you see him?
Hold on.
I saw
I was with her last night. We went to Bill Gray's tap room, and Sabres game was on. They had the sound on, which I would really appreciate it. But I went home a little early, and she calls me freaking out. Jimmy Fallon serving drinks at Cobblestone.
Where?
I'm like, Cobblestone. The Webster, it's right up the street, literally.
And on Main Street.
Main Street and Webster.
So he went to two places.
Yeah,
three.
Yeah. Hold on.
Three?
So I go, okay. She goes, oh, you don't care. I go, no. And she hangs up. And then she texts the family group chat and is like, oh, my God, Jimmy Fallon's at Cobblestone. And then, like, you guys were like, oh, yeah, he's here all the time. Like, what's the big deal?
No, I knew that he's been here multiple times, but I've missed him every time.
Oh.
So I was very excited that I had the chance.
BJ's in.
But I'm glad you went.
All the other times he's in Fairport.
Yes.
But now.
So what happened was his friend owns Malconery's.
Right.
They just opened one in Greece.
He went
to the one in Greece, and then I guess that owner is good friends with the Cobblestone owner. So then he came to Cobblestone, then he went to the Fairport Malconery's at the end of the night.
Wow, he made the rounds.
That poor guy must have taken pictures with 100 people.
He sang on stage with Tommy Burnett. I saw a video.
Oh, cool. He sang with Tommy.
I see BJ stuff.
Yep, he's going to come on. Jake got to add him in.
All right. Can't wait to speak after all this time. Let me mention before he shows up that for years, while BJ was on many, there he is. Look, you don't look bad, B.
Oh, thanks, man.
I need volume on BJ. BJ, you got any kind of volume picker-upper?
Well, let's see. Let me see what we got. Hello, hello. Well, it shows that I'm actually doing.
We can hear you. You might have to move the mic a little closer.
Right to you, because I'm deaf. Yeah.
How's that? Is that
better?
I can hold it like the kids do. I can just hold a little guy like the little kids do and do it like that.
I might need that.
That'll be better.
Your buddy is deaf. Let me tell you something. You think it's easy with the Wee's Family Circus? My wife beats me up hours at a time. I'm not only deaf, I have tinnitus. Is that what it's called?
Tinnitus, yeah.
Tortured, Beach. Tortured. It's like I got Parkinson's. I play poker with my hand going like this, and they think I got a bad hand. So much crap. But that's what happens with age. So I'm here for people coming up in the world to get them ready to be broke down like me.
Yeah, I appreciate that, man, because I'm getting there. I'm 65. I just went Medicare. I'm Medicare ready,
yeah.
Baby.
So, Beej, let's start going back with you. To be honest, not only does age fuck up everything with your body, but your memory, at least mine, not great. But I don't forget my BJ. You know I've always loved you. But I don't know. How did I get you?
Do you remember Chris Shire?
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
What does she have
She's
to
the
do
one
with
that
you?
We worked together in Boston, and we both, all of us, they blew up the radio station in Boston, so all of us were out of a job. She ended up getting a job with you in Rochester, and she knew that I was expecting my first kid, and she knew you were looking for a sports guy. So she had asked me, she said, hey, do you know anything about sports? And I asked her why. She says, well, there's this full-time job in Rochester, and this guy had a kid coming, did not have a full-time job. So the answer was going to be yes, even though it was no.
So you came to Rochester. Did we interview you or just blind hire you?
I feel like the interview with you was, hey, brah, you know sports? I'm like, yeah, all right.
I know how to spell it.
Yeah, I felt like I didn't irritate you. I think you found me funny. And so because of that, I made you laugh a couple times, made you chuckle. I had no idea what I was getting myself into because I just didn't know about you at the time, Wheeze. And
it's 100 years.
I do know that.
Go ahead.
Yeah, it was 100 years ago, yeah. And, you know, you were doing what you do now. You were doing that radio. And I, of course, was doing old school read out of a joke book radio. That's what I was trained on. And, boy, did you open my eyes. And it was a glorious, glorious 4 years and really shaped my entire career.
Is that all it was 4 years, Beach?
4 years. I came, you know, I was 1988 to 92. And then I came back, I think, in 96.
Oh.
And I didn't work with you directly. I work with Bull in the afternoons for half a second, which that's a story. Like I got stories that maybe you know, maybe you don't know. Yeah, you may not know. Like I came back the second time, and I don't think know why I came back the second time. I don't know if you know why they really hired me. And of course, it's one of the people that still work in that fine company you recently left.
Who's that?
I'm not gonna say names. I'm currently involved in a situation, so I want to be as diplomatic as possible.
Okay. I'm guessing it's one of the managers. That's
yeah,
that
you,
he's referring
one of your,
to because we know
one of your people.
He knows.
One
I know
of your
who
people.
Was the manager at the time, and you do too.
Yeah.
So why did they really bring you back?
Are you, all right, you ready,
I
Lucy,
know why.
Jake? You probably do, Doreen.
I'm going to guess.
Lucy, Jake, they thought Wheeze the first time. I think this was your first time with cancer. They thought you were going to die. Now they didn't tell me this.
Look at
so
Lucy,
they were getting ready for to re- they were getting ready to replace your show, and I'm like, I didn't know this. So I think they really want me to come in and do an afternoon show, and they put Bull on with me. The only person that was ever honest with me about that afternoon show, by the way, Wheeze, was you. You're like, bro, this show stinks. I don't understand why they're doing
that. Doesn't sound like Wheeze at all.
They're like, I'm like, I don't know. They're paying me good money, Wheeze. I don't understand either, to be honest with you. Where do they get this kind of money to do afternoons in Rochester? Like, it was money they would pay a morning show somewhere else. But everybody involved, including the carpet salesman, you know how much I love that guy, who used to be the program director. The carpet salesman is like, oh, no, no, we totally just want you to do afternoons. And because of my sparkling personality, I browbeat the guy and I said, this makes no sense. What's going on? And eventually I got him to admit, you were only supposed to be here as a contingency plan, but the problem was, Weez, you lived. You didn't die like you were supposed to.
Holy shit. We didn't know that. Waiting for me to take a pass.
They were,
all right.
They were waiting for you to die. And we, that's what, that's, so if you remember, I was very bitter in that second run. And I had, you know, I'll say Terry Owen, because Terry Owen, I love Terry Owen, and he was my boss at the time. He brought me in. He's like, I don't know what's going on with your attitude. You seem pretty bitter. You seem pretty upset. Kevin LeGret, who I love, he also brought me in. He says, you seem pretty bitter. You seem pretty upset. And I'm like, yeah, because if you told me the only reason we want you is because Weez might die, I wouldn't have taken the job. I wouldn't have moved here.
Why
and
not?
I bought a house. I bought a house, and I went to carpet salesman, and I go, look, dude.
I remember.
It doesn't feel right. I go, Weez is the barometer. He goes, what do you mean by that? I go, if Weez hates something, the show stinks. There's no way you're keeping me. Oh, no. Don't. Weez doesn't know what he's talking about. I go, no, Weez does know what he's talking about, and I'm about to buy a house. My wife is bugging me. She wants to buy a house. So we bought one. It was great. We were in Brighton. We loved it. 3 months later, they're like, the pipe. Get out.
I remember that well. I didn't remember it. Fucking BJ, they told him, don't worry, buy a house. 3 weeks after he bought a goddamn house, they gave him the boot. What pieces of shit.
Oh. Yeah, and I, like I'm saying, one of those people still works for your situation, which is why I'm going to be on the DL and not name names. But it's it sucked. It sucked, too, because it was like, man, I mean, really, this is your big plan? You don't even, like, the guy's going through hell, and he's beloved, and you're behind the back going, oh, yeah, we're going to just put these, you know, just wait for you to die. It was so cold. I also just did not like them for that either. I thought that was just classless, in my opinion. But, you know, I know people do what they do.
Well, I'll tell you a funny thing. That cancer not only did all of that stuff, but at the time they were getting ready to drop me in Buffalo onto the Howard Stern spot. So we were broadcasting from 6 a.m. to 3 p.m. morning in Rochester, 1 hour shared in Buffalo, and then till 3 p.m. in Buffalo, and then I got the cancer. All right, Rubber Bub?
Yeah.
And then, of course, that was that. But I think we need to talk about the good times, Beach. I want to ask you.
Oh, yeah, there are so many good times.
So many pictures of Sam Kennison with you and the shows we had, the naked chicks, the fun. What comedians do you remember in studio back then?
Well, everybody. It was so great to be a sidekick, because when I became a host of a show, that's when I really, you and I bonded, because you can't understand what somebody like you goes through until you're in that position. And you and I was always, you know, an underling. And then when I got my own show, you were like, you know, you treated me completely differently. You said, like, you looked at me, go, do you get it now, bruh? Do you get it? And I'm like, oh, I do. It's your head is spinning that you don't remember all those things. But I got to, because I wasn't running the show like you. And so the Sam Kinison week.
Sam Kinison, ladies and gentlemen.
Big Shy. That's it, Big Shy.
Oh, we saw Sam
right
there.
He's not in the ditch somewhere. Not only were we, we got a little late start, but we were working with Radio Silence.
How's that?
Which was tough. Well, the guy's radio didn't work in the car.
Are you kidding me?
That's right.
You came here with a car with no radio?
Car with no radio, man.
It's been a while since you've been here.
That's true.
And when you come here, it's always a circus here at the radio station.
I don't know how to explain it to anybody, because this kind of fame that Sam had, he was as big as anybody you can think of right now who's as big. He just was. And the fact that he would come to your studio, and he did it for a week, Weez. This is what, like, it blew my mind, because Sam was the biggest thing ever. And here he's got shows in Buffalo, he's got shows in Syracuse, he's got shows in Rochester. And every day he's going to one of those places and then driving back after doing a late show. And if and you know how Sam was. He loved the audience. He greeted everybody. He shook hands. He was such a great guy. He was that guy taught me about customer service. But he'd always come back to your show. And we had such a blast. That radio, I might have said five words that entire week because you and Sam just had such a rapport. And it was hysterical, and he loved you. He made that so clear to everybody, where he was like, "This guy put me on the radio before anybody knew who Sam Kinison was." And he said he was one of the only shows that would give me time. So I want to make sure, Weez, that I return the favor because of what you did for me. You allowed me to basically step my way to this great stage. He would go in other rooms and call Buffalo. He'd go in other rooms and call Syracuse, and he would do an interview. But he would always be on your show live for the entire week. It was the biggest event that any city would have, but Rochester had it. And it was huge, Weez, just so huge. And well, it was fun to be a part of.
I think it really, really, really helped my career because we're in Rochester, New York, and as you mentioned, he's playing Buffalo, Rochester, Syracuse. But he did those stations in Buffalo and Syracuse, he didn't go to. He did the interviews from our studio and spent the whole week with us. Man, I mean, he was on a number of different times. But just look at that picture, Sam. And it was so heartbreaking when he died.
And ironically, he was clean. I mean, we thought the way he ran his life, Weez, we know that you don't have that kind of energy unless you have help. And Sam, he was like up 24 hours. But apparently he finally was like, hey, got himself clean, got himself cool. And that's why his death was so tragic, because from what I understand, it was just a horrible car accident that had nothing to do with anything about his lifestyle.
Right.
Well, what happened was punk-ass drunk teenagers in a pickup truck went across the road. They were on the way to Las Vegas to perform, and they went across the road head on to Sam. And that's it.
Yeah.
Good night.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a little ironic. He got clean.
Yeah, it is.
He got hit by a drunk driver.
And of course, Carl LeBove, you remember Carl?
Oh, well, you know, Carl, I was more friends with Shubes. Like, Shubes and I really bonded with those outlaws back in the day. Yeah.
He's down here now.
Yeah, Shubie's a great guy. And he and I bonded a lot while you guys were doing your thing. And I didn't get to know Carl as well as I got to know Jimmy. But obviously, Carl was there. Carl was a fantastic comic. I guess still is. I think he's still with us, right?
Yeah, but no, I think Carl might even have taken a pass.
Oh, has he taken?
But anyway, yeah. Carl was in the car following Sam and his wife in the Corvette with Sam Kinison's brother, remember? And Carl tells a story that, he's got the article up on the screen. I don't know if it's in this article, but Carl says he held Sam's head. And it's a story, and he said, Sam says, I'm not ready, and then he died. I'm ready, he says. But that's a story, and tragic.
That's very tragic.
But, BJ, also talk about when you went, did you go, you didn't go to San Francisco from our story. You went somewhere else, Florida?
No, I did. I did go. Before we do that, I just want to say hi to Jake. Hi to Lucy. Hi, guys.
Hi.
So fun. So fun to see you working with your family, Weez, because I got to do that in my career. I got to have my two kids on the show. It's fantastic.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. Another guy in Minnesota who, big rock guy, you probably know him, Tom Bernard, who was the king of rock radio in Minnesota for years, got to do the same thing. And when he and I met, that's the only thing he wanted to talk about. He goes, are you the guy working with your kids? He just loved the idea of being able to work with his family. So I'm happy you get to do that too, Weez, because there's just something special about sharing your craft with your kids and your wife.
Tom Bernard was one of the guys we had dinner with
Paul.
That's
who that was.
With the kit. And I remember he does with his wife and kids. And then they did a show after his radio show like with the family too. So.
Yeah, so I did go to San Francisco right after, Weez. It was... I was recruited to work with this guy. They interviewed me before. I don't know when. I don't know if I was with you or not, but I was interviewed by this guy in San Francisco many years before to work with this guy named Lobster. And Lobster was a huge guy in San Francisco, a hippie dude. But they wanted to put somebody on the show with him. And that interview did not work out. It didn't happen. They ended up firing the guy. But the PD liked me. So when another opportunity came up, he considered me again, had me come out. And that was the job that I took in San Francisco. And so, yeah, I went there first.
Let me tell you a couple anecdotes. First one, I remember at one of our morning show conventions, just as you were going to San Francisco, that piece of shit man cow, he was making fun of you. I don't know if you were even in my space. And I said, you're such an asshole. I can't wait till BJ kicks your ass, and he's going to. But besides that, I also remember in San Francisco, you had a partner that they put you with that was gay in San Francisco, wait for it, kids, that wouldn't be gay on the radio. And I used to talk to me and BJ, used to talk, I go, in those days, San Francisco was famous for gay, right? I mean, of all the country. And you got a gift of a gay partner, and he won't, but you, how long did it take for you to talk him into it, to coming out?
Yeah, it took a while. He was a host of just a regular sort of music show, had a great voice. But you never really knew who he was on the air. And you, of course, taught me, be who you are. So I was a shock to his system. I'm going, how can you be in San Francisco, be gay, and not be out about it? We would have so many listeners. I mean, you'd be I don't think anybody else is open on the air. He's like, well, but he hadn't come out to his family, hadn't come out to anybody.
Oh,
so he was
super.
That didn't stop me, though. I still said, good. Dude, we got to do this for ratings. What are you doing?
For ratings.
And he eventually did. Yeah. And I have to say, he's one of my favorite moments because he was so happy to be able to come out, but it was still really hard. I mean, in the early 90s, it was still very difficult. It wasn't like it is today. But we had a great exchange where he wouldn't take me to meet his gay friends. I said, hey, we should go to clubs. I want to go to the places. And he said, I can't take you to places, because he was a very good-looking guy. He was very popular. He was very single. And it was great comedy, Weez, because he just came out and said it. He said, I don't want people to think I'm with you. That would ruin my reputation.
That's hilarious. What happened to that show?
So, again, Weez, manager's not telling you everything. Another situation where we're all hired to go do this FM talk thing. What I didn't know is they were going to get Howard Stern to do mornings, even though they hired me and this guy to do mornings, but they were going to move us to afternoons without even telling us. And they didn't say a word about that. Nobody said anything. So I'm out there thinking I'm doing a morning show. Then all of a sudden, big news comes out, and the manager says, look, this whole station is going to be blown up. We're screwed. And I'm like, what do you mean you're screwed? What are you talking about? We're all here. He said, well, truth be told, we were negotiating with Howard Stern. We were going to get him to do mornings. I'm like, but I'm doing mornings. Yeah, that wasn't a problem. So Howard, of course, is owned by another company. They have a radio station in that market. And I'm looking at him going, do you think, and they were a rock station. I'm like, so you thought somehow that company would just forget they have a rock station and just let you have Howard Stern on their competitor? You thought that was going to work?
It
and he's like, well, I thought it. No, because he went to that station. And I'm like, how are you a manager? Who put you in charge of it? I mean, you know me. I'm not very tactful.
Oh,
so we all got fired. And how we found out is, you know, my producer and his wife and my wife at the time, we went out to dinner. And then the two of us said, hey, would you like to see the studio? So they're like, yeah, let's go see where you guys work. So we go in to see, and the key's not working. So we're banging
yeah,
on the...
Come on.
Yeah, the key's not working. And the two of us like, what? So we're banging on the door. The engineer comes out, because they still had people working at radio stations in those days.
Of course.
He looks at us and he goes, I can't let you in. I'm like, what do you mean you can't let us in? He goes, yeah, you'll find out Monday.
Oh, my God.
Are you
and
shitting me?
That's worse than your thing.
Weez, there's too many stories like this. You know, that's the thing is I sound like a complainer because of just what I've gone through in my career. But really, what's happened to you and me and everybody, it happens everywhere. I mean, it's a great funny story because it is a funny story. But yeah, so San Francisco ended like 9 months in because we were never supposed to be the morning show in the first place. We were supposed to be having Howard Stern, which would have been a good idea to start a station, but that didn't work. And so they blew up the whole thing, sent us all packing, and I had to do some scrambling. I just moved my two babies. Like I had a 3-year-old and a newborn. And I'm like, oh, my God. And it was a great opportunity. It was triple my salary. So for like 9 months, I was debt-free, saving big money. I was so excited for my life because I was going to be smart with my money. And then goodbye. And it's like so much for the savings, so much for the debt-free.
Yeah, I want to mention before we get to other things, and we got a lot, that in Rochester, BJ lived maybe right next door or just a couple doors from Plow.
Chris Monheim. Yeah.
Chris
yes.
Monheim.
He was, he was a neighbor. Plow and I, we fought a lot, but he's a great dude.
Oh, we talked to him today.
His wife.
He's phenomenal.
Yeah. His wife told me that you used to have to come home from working on the radio and vacuum and clean the house and stuff. That was like instructions you had.
I'm glad you told me that, Doreen, because my new girlfriend is all about invisible labor and making sure that everybody does their fair share. So she is a very feminist, you know, a positive feminist, you know, because I think there are some feminists out there that sometimes go a little too far with beating up men. But she's all about invisible labor, and she's quizzed me, like, how were you when you first were, you know, your kids were born? And I don't know. I know I was working. So thank you, Doe. I'm going to tell her, hey, I vacuumed and I did stuff.
No, you had they said you had a whole chore list every day. Every day you had to come home from working on the radio and do that.
Wow, I totally forget that. But thank you. I'm glad that I was at least pulling my own weight.
So, BJ, for your old Rochester fans, where'd you go? I'm guessing did you go to Florida?
Yeah, I went to Jacksonville right after San Francisco. That program director was a solid guy. I didn't have a contract, Weez. I was stupid. I went to San Francisco without a contract. So he made me sign one once he knew we were all getting fired so that I would at least get paid for the year. He helped me get the job in Jacksonville because he recommended me to everybody because he felt terrible about how it happened. Yeah, Chris Miller. I want to give him credit. Because, you know, there's a lot of people in our industry who I think aren't good at their jobs. But Chris Miller was one of the good ones. And, yeah, so I went to Jacksonville. And it was the inaugural season of the Jacksonville Jaguars. That was fun to be a part of as we were all celebrating the birth of a new football team.
Did you turn me on to Sally Carpenter?
Yes, I did. Yeah, she worked at Planet Radio, I think, down there. And I love Sally. I don't know how things went with you two, but I loved her. She was a great talent.
I loved her. She was my kind of broad.
She was.
Yeah, I was so happy when she joined your show because I tell everybody, I go, look, you are going to learn so much. You're going to unlearn everything that this business has told you, and you're going to learn how to be a great talent. You just work with that guy. And he's not going to teach you anything by telling you. You will just watch him, view him, see how he lives his life, and just absorb all of that. It's not like he's going to sit you down and have these fatherly moments. That's not going to happen.
Hey, I didn't teach you how to beat up the programs where you used to scream at Stanley, bro. I used to, me and BJ would be in a car, I'd say, BJ, remember? I'd say, BJ, I thought the best thing I think that I taught BJ was just listen to this asshole and then don't do it. Then we don't do what he said.
I can't even think of what you could be screaming at Stanley about. I mean,
oh, BJ.
I try to take the high road with Stan because I feel like I was way mean to him, and he's a nice dude.
Absolutely, I love him.
He's a great dude. Yeah, but yes, we definitely had some philosophical disagreements. My problem is, Weez, you have that thing where it's better to ask for forgiveness than permission.
I was raised
in a family where you don't lie, you get permission, you have integrity. So it was always difficult for me to live that way. I couldn't live that. I was so envious of you and also angry at you. Like, I can't do it that way, Weez. I can't. I feel like I'm deceiving people. I don't. But first of all, you're right. You should do what you want to do. Why do we have to ask for forgiveness for their own stupidity? That was always my attitude.
But, you know, it's funny. My best argument ever with Stanley was when Howard Stern came to town and he wanted me to play 4 songs an hour. And I said, I'm not doing it, bro. And we screamed at each other. And that was just the one time when I said, listen, man, this is it. I am not playing any music and handing the audience to Howard Stern. And that's how it worked. And he couldn't do anything about it. I love you, Stanley. I know you're watching. So
yeah, you know, look, you know, Stanley really believed in his philosophy, and it's not like his philosophy didn't have statistics and stuff behind it. So that happens sometimes in life. You know, people really feel real strong, and then there's a guy like you who, look, this is your show. Your whole career depends on it, and a guy like you wants to fail doing what you think is right, then actually, you know, fail doing what somebody else thinks is right. So I feel for both of you, but at the end of the day, I think it's your call to make. Every PD has to know that.
So after how long did Jayville last?
Jacksonville was 2 years. It was good. And it was so good that I got recruited to go to Phoenix. And Rivers
Phoenix.
Was helping. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I went to Phoenix after Jax. Yeah. Oh,
how
yeah.
was that?
Well, Weez.
Come on. Let's get the life. How was it?
It's horrible because it feels like everything that's ever happened has just been horrible. But in a way, it's like you didn't have to do any of this because you – and I think – dang it, man. I don't know if you remember, but I would send air checks of our show out all the time because I thought, because you were like, I'm going to stay in Rochester. I love Rochester. It's my place. And I'm like, no, we need bigger things. I mean, I just wanted more money. So I figured, hey, we can get more money if we're in Los Angeles. And I would send air checks everywhere. And people loved you, but you're like, hey, you know what? I think I'll just stay here, which is smart because you never had to go through these situations where you get lied to and you get deceived. Phoenix. The general manager and the PD loved me. So they're like, we want you to come out. We want you to do this show. And I'm like, cool, I want to. But I was smart. I'm like, this time I have a lawyer and we want a contract and we want it to be guaranteed for 2 years or I'm not moving my family because I'm loving life in Jacksonville. Well, they said no. And I said, well, okay, then no, thank you. I'm not going to do it. And then they went back to their managers and said, look, man, this guy, we want him, but he won't come without a guaranteed contract. And they said, well, you tell him to come out. And they said, no, please. Why? And they were like, why won't you give him a guaranteed contract? For crying out loud, what do you expect? Anybody good's not going to come out here.
Right.
And so they finally capitulated and said, sure. Then, but I was always a little suspicious, like, why did they fight over this? I don't understand why corporate didn't want to do this. Bob Rivers recommended me. The people love me. I'm no lie, Weez. I'm there. I get there. We're killing it. We're having a great show. My first book, we went from like number nothing to number 2 in the target demographic they wanted.
Wow.
I knew the show we had to beat. There were old people. It wasn't hip, and it was a young woman station. I was so excited. I thought, we can do this. A month after I'm at the job, they fire the general manager. And I go to my program director. I go, what's going on? And he's like, I have no idea. 2 months later, they fire my program director. And a week later, they come in and tell me, we're changing the format.
Oh,
you need to leave. And I'm like, what do you mean I need to leave? I got a guaranteed contract. And they said, oh, no, you need to leave because you're in serious trouble. There have been many complaints about you from human resources. Apparently, you're a harasser. I'm like, what?
Oh, my God.
And he's like, yeah, here's a piece of paper. Just sign this. I'm like, no, I'm not going to sign anything. So I called my lawyer, and my lawyer said, wait, they tried to make you sign a piece of paper just so they didn't have to pay you without having me present. She said, that's a violation of fair practices. So she called corporate, and the corporate officers were like, no, that shouldn't happen. We're so sorry. Oh, my God. So the new general manager was an idiot, and didn't. He just thought he could pull a move. So, yeah, they ended everything. They moved me to nights, Weez. And I wish they just would have paid me out, but they moved me to nights. But I'm like, okay, well, I have bonuses, and I was number one in nights, so I was like, this is great. I'll still make all my money. I'll make my bonuses. Yeah, it's not mornings, but whatever, till I find another gig. Then I go collect my first bonus because I'm number one, and the GM says, oh, no, you don't get a bonus. I go, what are you doing about your bonus? I'm number one. He says, yeah, but your bonuses are based on mornings. And I'm like, yeah, well, I got a bonus when I was working mornings. I got a bonus because we went to number two. Now I'm number one. He goes, yeah, but you don't get them because you're not on mornings. You're on nights. And Weez, I never, ever got another bonus. And I went in every day to the general manager, and I said, I want you to know that, yeah, you don't get to pay me a bonus, and you think that's great, but your morning show sucks, and that's why they're not making bonus. And so here I am at night. All I've ever done has been top one or two every place you put me, and you're so happy you don't have to pay me a bonus. And it was another horrible experience where, I had to go find another job, and unfortunately they don't pay you. They wait for you to find another job so you don't get that lump sum. And then from Phoenix, that's when I went to Rochester because, BJ, you're the greatest talent ever. We want you. And I'm like, really? Are you sure? Because I just had a bad experience here in Phoenix. Are you sure? No, we want you. You and Bull are going to be the greatest thing ever. And, and believe me, I'm like, oh.
I don't have Bull on. We should put Bull next. But that's, well, you got to tell me about Seattle, because here comes this. First of all, are you a big fan of the football
team? Of Seattle?
Team?
Oh, yeah. Well, Weez, this football team. I mean, if they don't destroy New England, I'll be very surprised. I'll be very surprised. But, look, we don't have one of our running backs, but I still don't think that's going to be a problem. And I think Darnold's oblique doesn't show any signs of being an issue. He's got another couple of weeks to heal. So unless New England is a better offense than they've faced, I just don't think New England's faced a defense anywhere near. I mean, I really think the three best teams in football were all in the NFC West. That's my opinion. And the Super Bowl happened, at the conference championship for the NFC, in my opinion, especially after seeing how that Denver New England game went.
What do you think of the how they played against, all the games they played in the playoffs were against top defenses? I don't think that New England is a strong team. I think on paper against their schedule showed, some signs of weakness. You thought they were just going to get smoked right away in the first round after the Bills, broke their winning streak, and it proved that, they really can't be beaten by good teams are going to beat them. But then they showed up against these three strong defenses, but I agree.
They did that great against Denver, right?
They won the game.
It was a low scoring game, right?
But here's the fun.
7 points, yeah.
Here's the most fun thing for me. Because I subscribe to the right-wing New York Post every day. Don't forget, Darnold used to play for the Jets. And the Jets, they're going to crap their pants if the quarterback they let run away wins the Super Bowl. And he's going to, I hope.
He was on the Jets, not the Patriots.
I said the Jets.
Yeah, Jets.
Yeah.
I said Jets, didn't I?
Yeah,
he was saying that.
Yeah, that's why I said
because the Jets are so bad that they're going to be pissed that they
everyone,
let him
I mean,
leave.
Minnesota let him go last year too. Like, he was amazing last year. Like, for whoever they drafted, what was it, McCarthy?
Yes, JJ McCarthy.
Yeah.
So, Beach, tell us a little bit, because Seattle's a great city. How many years have you been there?
This will be my 26th year, 25th year, 26th year. Yeah, well, maybe 27th year. Yeah, 27th.
Now,
I got
did
nine.
Our did the late great Bob Rivers get you in, or
yeah, that was
did you go yourself?
It was another great. That's another great story, and I will tell you, Weez, you may not remember this. There are two great things that please remind me to tell the stories, only because I've been reading a lot of the comments on the because I've watched all the episodes and I'm seeing the comments from people who just want to be miserable. But I think it's really great for people to hear behind the scene things about you from people like me that you probably don't remember. I don't know. I know Jake doesn't know this. I know Lucy doesn't know this. And I just think it's great for kids to hear what a great dude their dad is, especially when your demeanor is one of not a great dude, because that's just how you show up. You show up like a guy that might be upset all the time. And I have that same problem. Resting bitch face. You don't, it's just, but... when things were going south in Seattle and in Rochester, because they were done with me, I was irritated because I found out you weren't going to die, and I'm glad. But my career was over there. It was like, now I got to relocate my family again. I was so mad. I just had such a big chip on my shoulder, and you had a vacancy on your show. And I but you wanted a woman on the show, and I said, Wheez, look, man, I don't think you need a woman. You know me. When you, I, and Cindy worked together, Cindy was more of a man than I was on the show. I was the woman of the show.
And that's true.
I convinced you. You're like, you know what, brah? You're right. I think this will work. And you told management that I'm putting BJ on the show, and they were like, wait a second, we're getting ready to boot him out the door. And you said, I don't care. I'm putting him on the show. And I was ready to join your show, and then Bob Rivers calls me and says, hey, man, there's this great opportunity at a Seattle talk station, and I had never done talk before, and not to the level of what this person was. And the program director at the time was a really good talk radio program director. The money was the same, so it was going to be really a pay cut because, you know, the money I was making in Rochester was not going to go as far in Seattle. But the opportunity to go work with this person, to be on in Seattle, Bob was going to be an advocate, and I thought, okay, I got to do this. But I want you to remember and know how grateful my whole family was, because we didn't have any opportunities when you offered me that job. Nobody was giving me anything until Bob went in, and I wouldn't have had that opportunity. Because Bob said, hey, send your air check to them. And you know how dumb radio is. The stuff that I had was really from, I sent them stuff from Phoenix when it was a woman station, but I did send stuff from CMF. But they were like, yeah, but the last thing you did was a woman station, really, so we don't think you can do men's radio. I said, but I worked with Wheez for 4 years. He's like probably the top guy broadcaster you could ever have in the industry. Doesn't that count for anything? No, you did that woman station, so you don't know how to do guy radio anymore. So they threw my tape in the trash. And so I never got a call from Seattle. And then Bob called me and said, hey, how's it going? I go, they didn't get back to me, Bob. You know how it is. If they don't get back to you, they hate you. Bob was furious. He's like, nobody called you. So he went into the program director's office and he said, so what about my friend BJ? And she said, oh, yeah, he didn't fit it. She goes, tell me why. What was it about his tape you didn't like? And then she finally admitted she gave it to a minimum wage employee to listen to.
Oh my God.
Listened to it and hated it, and so he threw it in the trash. And Bob just said, I want you to know, I'm going to leave this meeting. I'm going to call the corporate CEO and tell him I will never recommend anybody to this company ever again because of you. She immediately said, no. We'll give him an audition. Just tell him to go to Rochester. We'll put him in a studio. So we went to the, because it was they owned stations in Rochester. So they had me go in the studio and do a test show. And I guess I did well in the test show and they hired me.
But you didn't work on the station Bob was on, did you?
No.
Company.
No. Wheez, to talk about the kind guy that Bob was, because I asked him, I said, why are you, like, helping me out? And he goes, I really shouldn't help you out because here's what's going to happen, BJ. It was a midday show. And, Wheez, I couldn't get arrested. I couldn't get a job anywhere. Nobody wanted me. You know, I just had failed in Rochester. Nobody knew why, but I just failed, and I was fired. And so I said to Bob, I go, what do you mean you don't want to bring me? He said, because one day you'll get a morning show here, and one day you're going to kick my ass in the ratings. He said, but I still think it's the right thing to do to bring you here. I think I can still learn from you. You're one of the best talent I've ever seen. And the only other ever person that's ever regarded me that way was you. So I thought, okay, well, I thought he was crazy. I'm like, dude, what are you talking about? And Wheez, I'll tell you, that exact thing happened. I eventually got a morning show. Bob and I were competitors. I eventually beat him in the ratings. And I just, the kindness of a human being to know the future and still bring me to town and help my family, I mean, it's unbelievable. Who does that? People usually try to keep people down.
Well, Bob Rivers was one of, may he rest in peace. If anyone shouldn't have died young.
Yeah.
I am not what some people think is young. It was Brother Bob. What a sweet friggin' guy who loved everybody. And, you know, we used to go for ice cream. We used to be at morning show conventions. That's when we all had our little group, Beach. And we used to go, everybody was at the strip joint. We'd be out for ice cream with Bob and Beach. And that's how it went. And Bob, for those that don't know Bob Rivers, just look up the thing. Well, he's dead, so I never thought his show was good, bro. His song parodies were the greatest ever. Did he not make the best song parodies?
He really did. He really did. And he would get the same equipment. Like, he would get the equipment that was made on the original. Bob was such a music geek. The guys from Heart loved him so much that they actually asked him to go on tour with them because of his acumen with, you know, playing music and making music. Yeah, it was amazing.
But you can't say that about his show, Bob, because if you live there and you listen to his show every day, like his listeners, you will have loved his show.
Well, obviously, every show has people that love them. Every show.
Right.
The worst show in the world that we think sucks has plenty of listeners that think it's the best. I'm sure there's plenty of people that think we're the worst shit going. Bob was the sweetest guy. It's just that when I would listen to, back when we would be in Atlanta or wherever, we would hear tapes. You know, Bob, I loved him. I better shut up.
Yeah, I think you should.
I loved him. He came to SOTUS. He came to Florida. We went to dinner. Well, he was the sweetest. And look what he did for you. And you ended up beating him. And now, how many years were you still on after he left?
Oh, wow. I think at least 10 years.
Without Bob?
Yeah, without Bob. I think so. Gosh, I feel like he retired 11 to 12 years ago. And so I've been off the air, at KISW, which was the big station I was on. I've been off them for 2 years. So I think we were there for 10 years after.
Well, can I interrupt? And I want to go back to you and BJ together. That's I want to hear about when the TV show started. Like, by then you were on the radio for how long before that?
I'm surprised you. You know, I can't believe we didn't bring that up. And it's funny, whenever I watch tape, which I'm not, of the TV show, there's my boy BJ. Man, do we have fun.
Oh, yeah.
Man, BJ, did we have fun on that TV show?
That was such a great, I mean, everybody involved with that, Wheeze, and you know and I know, to do a local Saturday Night Live type TV show, any kind of show at all locally, is impossible. I mean, there's a great show that was done out here for a very long time with some really talented people called Almost Live. And I think if you search for it on YouTube, Seattle tried to do their own Saturday Night Live. And for years, the NBC affiliate made it happen with some great, great talent. Still, it was so hard to make money. So the idea that we got to do that in Rochester is crazy. But we didn't get paid, or at least I didn't get paid. But it was so much fun. I never thought I'd ever be a part of anything like that in my life. And to this day, I am so proud of what we accomplished. And you riding your motorcycle into the place, it was just ridiculously over the top. Howie Mandel is the first guest, and Howie was fantastic.
We just showed, you probably couldn't see it, we just showed pictures of Howie. You and I.
Yeah.
On the show.
It's fantastic. It was a fantastic production. Was Marty Duda, do I got the right name? Yeah.
Marty Duda.
All those guys and Marty.
What happened was Marty moved to New Zealand. Marty, obviously, just like my son Jake, without him, this doesn't exist. That TV show was all Marty. And do you remember Tom Clyde?
Yeah, Tom Clyde,
from
great dude.
Funny Bone comedy chain, wrote for the show.
Yeah, Tom's another great guy, boy. I am rocking my Buffalo Bills Zubas, I think that's what they are called. I love those.
Those are black and
white. Yeah, because I wore my Red Sox top, and of course the Bills are blue and red as well, so I was representing both. I know it's hard to tell on TV, but they are Buffalo Bills, the Zubas, and man, I love those so much. And Wheeze, you remember how badly I dressed, and that's about the best I've ever looked.
Well, when BJ Fry, you know, I don't want to be mean. He's a big shot now. But when he first came to Rochester, he used to wear, I hope you admit this, two T-shirts under a shirt. I go, Beej, what are you doing?
Well,
and by the way, you might notice I'm not going to tell the most embarrassing story about you.
Well, are you not going to tell the fly?
You got to tell the fly.
But I know the fly. Before you tell the fly, Weez, to comment That's on my dress, story. I want to, just because I don't want people to think you're being mean, this commercial right here. So this commercial right here, I think we shot at, it was the NBC affiliate, whatever, ROC or HEC.
Channel 8.
So I'm dressed up the way I dress up, and it was geeky with my hair and my glasses, but I look like I was on a special bus. I did. That's how bad I dressed. Weez, I'm trying to get a soda out of the soda machine, and one of the TV employees come over, and she is thinking that I am just a special needs person, and I don't know how to operate this. And she's like, oh, honey, oh, dear, let me get that. Those buttons are so hard to operate. And I'm looking at her, and I'm like, I need to change my wardrobe. I really do.
Look at Cindy Pearson, that picture.
Yeah.
Pretty hot.
Yeah,
Cindy. Well, a lot of people love Cindy. Let me tell you, I used to get a lot of people coming to me going, is there any way you can give me the inside track on Cindy P? Because, I don't know. I mean, she was married, but these people, that didn't want to stop them. They all wanted a piece of Cindy P. Oh, and
yeah,
there's Courtney. Oh, Courtney.
Yeah,
you see Courtney.
Yeah, I love Courtney.
There's Joe Walsh.
Yeah.
There's Courtney and Cindy.
Yeah.
But do you remember, were you with me when, was Cindy already here when you came or the other one?
Well, Cindy came after me.
So you do remember when she came, we didn't even know she was married.
Yeah.
She was dating dudes.
Yeah, I didn't want to bring that up.
She was dating men in Rochester.
Yeah.
She was banging dudes.
Yeah, she was.
And then all of a sudden she was married and rope came to Rochester.
I like to think Cindy was the first polyamorous person I met. That's how I'm regarding it.
Well, she, her husband died, but she's in Ohio.
Yeah, I haven't heard from her in a long time, Weez. I have no idea how she's doing, but it was a good trio, man. That was a good show.
I'm going to get her on, and the only thing is it ended bad.
Yeah.
I don't even want to tell.
There's a story I got about that. Weez, I don't know if you remember that, but when you told me how things were going with Cindy, companies don't like to go to the mat. But I told you, bring me up to testify, because I had a story that pretty much made her look just like all of us. And it was a pretty embarrassing story for me, and I tell people the story. If what happened to me, if I was a woman and she was a man, she would have been fired on the spot for what she did to me.
What'd she do?
Bro, we're in public at an event, and I don't know what was talking about. Maybe they were showing pictures. Maybe there was a couple of exotic dancers that showed up. And Cindy goes, oh, well, let's second check and see how BJ's doing down there. And she goes and she grabs my package in front of an entire crowd. And then to have her turn around and go, oh, my God, this environment was just so hostile. And I told you, Weez, I go, I will testify against that person right now because that is such crap. Because everybody did everything. That's what we all did. And, you know, is it right? Is it wrong? All I know is that she was as bad as anybody she claimed was as bad to her. And I was ready to testify on your behalf.
Proud Jesus. Play BJ, quick fly story.
Yeah. Okay. Go for it.
BJ got hired. BJ was a comic. BJ could do stand-up comedy. And BJ was hired to open up for, say it.
Oh, I think it broke
Great
up.
Singer. Oh,
something's going on, Jake.
No, it was his microphone.
Did you hear me say Bobby Vinton?
Nope,
Bobby Vinton.
Yeah.
Okay. Was he the Polish prince or something?
Yeah, that's exactly who he is. A great crooner, sort of like Dean Martin and Jerry Vale, all those guys, Al Martino. He was that kind of guy. And also the Catholics loved him. This was a church event that we were doing.
So they hired BJ to be the opening act for this big show at the Eastman Theater. BJ goes out and buys a suit. Nice black suit.
Yeah, 1980s and sort of bellhop looking suit
comes out
that they used to have back in the day.
A little bit. And I'm sitting with his wife in the break. And if you've been to the Eastman Theater, it's about 20 or so rows back with a space in between. And all of a sudden, we see BJ's fucking fly is open. His fly is open, and he's got white undies that you could see. And she says to me, Weez, go and tell him. I would have to walk down the center aisle. I go, oh, Kathy, I'm not. You're his wife. You go tell him. She wouldn't do it. So he did the whole show with his fly open. We go backstage immediately. And we go, Beach, you got fucking fly was open. And he says something wonderful. He says, I wonder why they were laughing at the wrong time in my jokes. That was hilarious.
I was bombing so bad because nobody was laughing at the right stuff. But then all of a sudden they're laughing at other things. And I'm like, what is happening? Oh, God, it was one of the worst moments I had on stage. I don't know if you remember after that.
Not really.
Well, Weez, what I remember, which was so wonderful about that, is you took me to Hiccups, Yuck Yucks, whatever it was called at the time. Elaine Boozler was performing. And, of course, you had to you had to tell everybody the story because, you know, I mean, it's a great story.
It's a great story.
And Elaine Boozler was so kind because she was like, man. And she started telling the stories of her worst gigs, and she made me feel a lot better because I just thought no one has ever had this horrible experience. And I got to be famous for it. I mean, people gave me the nickname The Fly. I mean, it really was great for my career.
Let me mention Elaine Boozler, probably 90% of the people watching this don't know who she is, but at that time, she was one of the bigger female comedians. Elaine was big deal.
I remember
deal.
The name.
Huh?
I remember the name.
Elaine Boozler.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell you.
Super talented so and a great person.
Well, a lot of the ones back then.
Well, you...
Now everybody...
You a story that guy, because you asked me the comics, I remember we got the scoop on the whole home improvement controversy. And I don't know if you remember, but it's because of your great again. We got so many good stories, Weez, because of how these comics loved you. I had never heard Rich Scheidner tell this story because I ask other comics because I, you know, because of you and because of stuff. I in my show, we had comics come in and I would ask people to the side. I go, look, you know, because Ari Shaffir at one point really went after Carlos Mencia and said, called Carlos Mencia,
that
whole thing. So I thought, hey, you know, since you're thinking about that, have you guys ever heard about Tim Allen and the whole controversy with, you know, and the Rich Scheidner controversy? And nobody had ever heard that story. And I don't think anyone ever did, except on your show where Rich felt comfortable enough to say, you know, his character, Canyon Man, he believed was completely stolen and basically made a career for another person. And that the only place I've ever heard it is on your show. And I don't think Rich has ever told anybody.
Richie, by the way, I have to interrupt because Richie, he used to, after a period of time, he would come up for a week at a time in the summer, stay with us, and he's still performing. I don't know if you know that.
I didn't know that, no.
Still performing. He wrote a comedy book, Beach. I think he has a movie out that he made. I love Richie. Just for folks that ever want to look up Rich Scheidner, he was married to Carol Leifer.
Yes.
And if you don't know Carol Leifer, watch a show, pretty successful show, called The Seinfeld Show.
Yes.
She was the top producer.
Okay.
She was a writer. She was... She must have, anyway, when she was married to Richie, she went gay. She went to the other side of the plate.
Man, that's always
and
tough.
And I don't know what people feel. One of my buddies, I won't say his name because he might be insulted, but you know him, Rubes.
Oh.
He got married, and his wife left him for another woman, and he was devastated. And I always thought, if my wife leaves for another woman, it wouldn't bother me in the least because it wasn't me. It's not even me. Yeah. If they leave for a dude, you ain't shit and you got beat. But if they leave to go to the other side of the plate, it's not you.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't know.
So true, Weez. I never understood that either. I don't know why men get so upset about that. I'm with you. It's like I would rather have leave for anybody besides another dude. I don't care who it is. Because, yeah, it's not me. It's like, oh, you just don't like it's not your orientation. OK, I don't take that personally. What are you going to do?
So, Beej, before we take a Powderius,
yes.
How are you doing? What's happening? What are you going to do?
Well, I'm a new grandpa, and that's fun.
You're telling me.
Yeah, I know you know that.
There's grandpa's daddy right there,
yeah,
Jake.
Yeah. And things are, I'm still trying to resolve things with my old employer. I would love to get my job back. I'm so frustrated that I'm not on the radio right now because we had such a great show going, and I really, it's just so hard not being on the air, doing a show, doing what I love to do. I hope that can happen. I don't know if that's going to happen. It's been almost 2 years, and we're still negotiating.
Is that long?
Yeah. Well, you know.
Well, let me interrupt quickly and say, when you're done, when it's not a problem, I'd love to tell the story with you.
Yes.
Of how you got the pipe, because you got fucked.
Yeah, it's you know,
and, cheated.
Yeah, and I'm hoping that other people feel the same way you do, people that actually have the ability to do something about it. That would be great.
Are you talking about like this?
I couldn't hear you.
Because Beach, why don't you do your own show?
Like, oh, yeah. I'm glad, you know, Weez, by the way, I'm glad you asked Jake if you could tell everybody what it costs for you to set this whole thing up. Jake, I love my son, Joe. He just doesn't have the work acumen that you have to be able to help out with something like this. Though now he's in North Carolina and he's got a fiance and he's out of radio himself and he's working in the culinary industry, which is was another one of his loves. So, but yeah, to do a podcast, I'm like your dad, Jake. I don't want to do anything but play my board games, and then you tell me where the microphone is. I'll sit down and I'll start talking, and then I'm going to go play my board games.
Since you brought it up, I wasn't going to mention it, but this is so weird. Yesterday in the poker tournament I was in, there was a goofy dude at my table with a magic sweatshirt.
Oh, yeah. Don't be...
I was thinking of BJ the whole time.
Oh, I got a story about that, bro.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even... You know what that crap is, Jake?
Oh, bro.
What's it called?
Yeah, well, you know who plays it is your own kid. Sammy plays magic.
You and Joey, right? Play?
Yeah. Yeah, Joey, yeah. And let me tell you about Magic, Weez, because you're a poker guy, because a lot of people don't know. Being in Seattle, you get to meet some famous, some Microsoft dudes. And so this one Microsoft dude loved to have poker games, and he used to bring a lot of people that he met over the years. And one guy was a World Series of Poker guy, Kieran something or other. He's an Irish, and he was very Irish poker player, very successful. And he sat at a table with me, and we were playing, having fun, you know, and he said, "All right, these kids... these damn math kids come to the table. You can't bluff them. You can't do anything with them because they just know math. They know math, and I don't understand where the math's coming from." And I said, "I know exactly where the math is coming from. I would take Joey to these magic tournaments with his friends, Weez, and some of these kids now are rocket scientists. Literally, some of them are rocket scientists. So you've got to be super smart to play this game." So while they were waiting for their tournaments, because you play multi-round tournaments, and before you have your next match, they're playing Texas Hold'em. And I sat down and I started asking the Magic players, I'm like, "What's going on? I don't understand why you're playing Texas Hold'em, your Magic players." And they said, "Oh, it's the same thing. You have to, if you remember, because you have to do a lot of memory and remembering of decks and cards and things. And if you remember what people do multiple turns ahead of time, which is what all the successful Magic the Gathering tournament players who win money, that's what they do." And they realized they could apply that skill to Texas Hold'em, and they have changed the game because they go in. And Joey has that kind of mind. Joey will tell me what I did 30 hands ago and tell me why I was a bad player. And that's why you're seeing those guys, Weez. There's probably a lot of Magic the Gathering players, if they're younger people, at your table.
That's,
Yeah, because the skill translates to poker.
He's hitting me today.
Yeah.
Yeah, you better run, Dad. You better – when you see a magic hoodie on a guy, you got to know he knows what he's doing, all right?
Yeah. You won't chase him away, bro.
BJ, so you play tournaments?
The magic tournaments? I used to. One of the things, the fun things Joey and I did, especially in Rochester, because we would travel all around. I don't know if you know this, but Joey was a really good player. Rochester was his hometown. A place called Bulldoze Armory, which I think is still in existence in Rochester, was a game store. That was his home store. They adopted little Joe. He probably was, I don't know, maybe 7 or 8 years old.
Holy Bruh, Christ.
He was so good, Weeze, that he won college scholarships because at the time, Wizards of the Coast, the head company before Hasbro bought him for $325 million. Those guys are rich. They used to give out money to adults and college scholarship to kids. So they had a thing called the Junior Super Series. Joe won Rochester. Then he won the regional, which went to New York City. He won that. Then they sent him to Orlando for Worlds. And he got to compete in that. And here's the sad story. You have to have a deck to play Magic. And these decks are very expensive because you have to buy cards and you have to have special cards. Bruh, here we are in Florida. Joe got sidetracked by Florida, left his deck on a bus stop as we were going to Disney World or something. And so he lost because he didn't have his deck. He didn't get to play.
For real.
Oh, it was so horrible. I mean, but he was really, really good. And all of the geeky community loved Joe because he was representing. He was a much better player than I was, even though I taught him how to play. But he much better than me.
How hard is it to get better? I mean, you can't get as good as your kid.
You have to. It's the same way to be good at poker, Weeze. You know, you have to have a great memory. You have to be disciplined. You have to know the rules, know how to play the game. Like Joey, they'll put a card on the table in Magic the Gathering, and Joey will tell me what's in the guy's hand. He'll go, I know exactly what that guy's playing. And jeez. I'm like, how the heck do you know that? And they would watch me play. Like, I play casually, and they're all behind me. And when you can hear them sighing. You can hear them going, oh, Dad, oh, my God. Like, they were like, you're the only guy we know that can snatch defeat out of the jaws of victory. You're so fantastic at that. But the kids were super smart. One of his friends is a professional poker player down in Vegas. That's how he makes his living. And he was just a Magic player. And now he's in Vegas, and that's his job. It's a grind to make money down there being a professional poker player. Yeah.
Well, we know.
It's a grind.
Yeah.
Anyways, Beej, we're going to have you back soon.
Oh, thanks,
because
man.
I have to get, oh, by the way, Jake, tell him about the bit you were hoping he could find, Beej.
So, Jake, I know you're going through audio, and I think if you have anything from the 80s and the late 80s and early 90s, from the shows that were the worst of the Weeze, those best of shows, I edited those shows. So it's really exciting if Jake actually gets to hear them and he's going through them.
You see this thing right here? Do you remember if it was on a DAT tape, which is these ones, or
yeah,
if it was
the ones I did were reel to reel. I don't know if we had that at the time.
Too.
Right there. That's one of them. And I got like 30 of them, and they're all on the back. I'll send you pictures of all of the backs.
Beej,
that might be my writing on the back. Yeah. So So Jake, you were one. No, you were maybe you were 2 years old. Joey was maybe one. And this is what I love about you, Weeze, is that we fight all the time about whether or not you really are a talent and whether you are a performer.
You say
that every time. And I've always argued with you is that you're a performer that doesn't understand you're a performer. You don't know how much God-given talent you have that people go to performing arts school to learn. You have such great timing. You tell such great stories. Your ADD teaches you how to move on. Like, you know when it's time to move on before any other human being does, which actually turns out to be great for what you do for a living.
Wait, I have to interrupt you and tell you I have been cut off. I'm not allowed to do it anymore, according to a podcast. Jake beat me up. I can't do it like radio. To me, stuff goes too long. He looked, supposedly, people listening to this shit want it to be long, Jake.
Well, yeah, but BJ, to your point, though, that can apply in these types of situations. This is longer form. But what you're talking about is, yes, is radio, and you're a radio guy, so that's kind of like the world you're in as well. So, but yeah, this is different. But I think, you know, this conversation was an hour. That's not something you can do on the radio, so already this is different.
Yeah. And, yeah, definitely. So and Jake is.
You were saying Jake was one. Yeah.
First of all, Jake is right, Weeze. Make sure you listen to Jake. He knows a lot more about it than you and I ever will.
Believe me. I'm listening to him.
Yeah.
Tell him the bit.
So the bit was is that, and Weeze, this was a magic moment for me working with you where all of a sudden you just decided one day I might have pissed you off, maybe because you had a balloon payment for one of your 14 boats you bought that year. I don't know.
Kazumo.
The Kazumo. And so
you made that up. Go ahead.
But, you know, you came at me and you said, bruh, on the radio, and this was legendary to me because of the reaction of everybody in the building who would listen. Like, the people that worked at the station were a fan of our show. And you said, bro, look, I got to tell you, I love you. You know I love you. But your kid, bruh, he is so friggin' geeky. He is going to be a loser when he grows up. Something to that effect. And I'm like sitting there going, first of all, my kid's like, well, like he's one. So, but I'm like, you know, the rules of improv, the rules of entertainment is like, all right, this is where Weeze wants to go. This is where we're going to go. And I'm, you know, I'm going to fight you. And I'm like, Weeze. And I basically said, you're in no position to criticize anybody else's child because of your dope of a son, which unfortunately, Jake, it was you. And he said, how can you call it? I don't know how it went, and it probably went completely differently, but I remember you like, you got no business saying, how do you know my kid's a dope? And I'm like, apple tree. I mean, let's be honest. You know? And then you come at me and go, bruh, your kid's going to wear two teeth. We went back and forth. It was brutal. Like, I don't know. I don't know if it was Chris Shire. I forget who was on the show. But, like, the look of shock on her face, you and I were going at it. But I remember this, Weeze, as we were going back and forth, which what I think was a great thing, just basically ripping the crap out of our toddlers. We were vicious. I saw a glimmer in your eye because you were like, this, brah. You were looking at me going, this is great radio. And I looked at you and I'm like, oh, I am not. I was like, I thought I would be in trouble, but I don't think I'm going to be in trouble. After we got off the air with that, you looked at me, brah, and you said, brah, that has got to be some of the best shit I have ever done. That was so funny. But then we walked out of the studio to go to the bathroom or something. Stan and the general manager and all the salespeople were like, are you guys okay? Oh, because they really thought we were going to kill each other. And I'm pretty sure I put that into Worst of the Weeze. I'm hoping that's on one of the reel-to-reels because to have two people rip the crap out of the children like we did, nobody would ever do that on the radio, especially like in the late 80s, early 90s. And I was vicious to poor Jake. And I think I compared it to a lighthouse. I said, he's vacant. There's nothing up there. I think you should have him checked. I don't think he's got a brain. And you were like, your kid is never going to get a woman or anybody. No, it's going to be. And it was so vicious and so fantastic. And that changed me, Weeze. That I realized you can't go back to doing lame radio after something like that. You just can't. So wonderful.
What year was Joey born? What year?
1988.
Okay, so him and Jake were very close because Jake's 87. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it was wonderful. By the way, the people of Rochester, I want to say this, Weeze. I moved my ex-wife. I moved her from her family and from everything when she was still pregnant with Joe to this new town because I needed this job. The people of Rochester, your show was so huge. By the way, I don't know if you remember this, Weeze. They did a study, and you had like a 50% name recognition in your town. One out of two people knew you. Like, they didn't know the mayor. They didn't know anybody like that. And so everybody was so kind. We got so many gifts. We got so many of your listeners that just wanted to make us feel at home with this new baby. I to this day, I've never been so well received. So I want to thank everybody who remembers me and remembers you. It was such a great experience because it was tough on my ex to have to go out there and not have anybody there and have this baby. But yeah, it was a great experience. And bro, you
Rochester
you,
is a special town for that.
I think Jake has the bit.
Whoa.
What do you got?
Whoa.
Well, no,
that's me. That's my writing. I think that's me, baby.
What about this?
What's
oh,
this
yeah.
We can't.
Oh, right? I can't really see. It's not big screen for me, but it looks like my writing, Jake. Those are my notes. Oh, that's so fantastic. You have those.
BJ, you were on the show with Weeze the first time I ever met Weeze or you.
I saw the kismet. The both of you don't realize I was the first one, and I said to Weeze after, he doesn't remember, because
you
I said,
tell me this.
I told Weeze, I go, Weeze, I have never seen you react to any woman like this in my life. Like, holy cow, this woman's like, she's got your, bah, you don't know what you're talking about, you stupid geek. And I'm like, no. And I go, Weeze, I got to tell you something. I kind of think she's feeling the same way about you. Like, she looks like she's really digging you, man. And you were like,
bah. But you knew before, but we didn't know.
I know.
When I first met you guys, I didn't. Nothing. Like, I had a boyfriend. I was had my own life. It wasn't until a long time after.
It was, you know, it was so, subconscious. I'm telling you, you know, because look, you sat and watched. When you're like me and you're the sidekick, you watch. You see, you have to watch things and you have to pay attention so you can know when to talk and say the right things. So when you two would be talking, I'm waiting for, you know, should I respond? Should I say anything? But I'm also looking at your demeanor, your body language, your facial expressions, and the both of you, I'm like, oh, there's a spark here. There, these two like each other. You may not have known it consciously, I'm like, I mean, there's that lizard brain animal magnetism thing, man, and it was there. And I remember, and then Weeze's response was perfect, because usually Weeze would be like, bah, you don't know shit about nothing. You know, basically, you're way out of your depth, Donnie. You know, that kind, he'd always give me that kind of response. But this time, he's like, bah, oh, come on, bah. And I'm like, oh.
That's so funny.
And
yeah,
again,
I,
you know,
you telling me that story.
And I'm so happy you guys are together, because, and I definitely want to say this, because I know that you showed the video in the last episode, and people were like, oh my God, you guys. But you guys love each other so much, and you're such an inspiration to me. Like, you're a couple that no matter what happens, you will never stop having adoration for each other. Like you just, whatever goes on, you guys love each other. And with Weeze, I have to tell you something. It was amazing to see that in him, because I only saw him do that for his boats. So I thought it was amazing that finally a human captured that.
All right, BJ Shea, the best, I'm telling you. Find them in Seattle. You'll see them in the front row at the Super Bowl this coming Sunday.
Go
what
Hawks,
are you
going to
do for the Super? What are you going to do, Beach?
You know, I'm going to be a little lame, and I'm going to watch it with this is Baby's first Super Bowl. He's been a good luck charm, this kid. He was born in October, and nothing but good things have happened for the Seahawks ever since. So that kid's got to be in front of that TV, whether he wants to or not.
That's so cute. That's cute. I'm hoping, I know what I'm hoping, but I haven't mentioned it yet.
You're hoping to watch it on the couch, I know.
How'd you know? That's it.
What you always want.
It's all I want to do. I'm a party. You go to one of those parties, you don't see the game.
True.
Yeah.
Drinking, talking.
Especially when if your team is in it, it's a little different. So maybe they'll shut up a little bit more. Because, you know, I've been to a lot of parties, and I was at one when the last time that the Hawks went. And you're right, Weeze. If it's two teams nobody cares about, but you actually do, it's hard at a party. Nobody cares is that much to really pay that much attention.
Yeah. Not sure I care too much about either team this time either, so that's the problem.
So it's BJ Shea. I see Lucille Ball Levin, my main man, Satchel, sister Bubby Levin. We have to leave by saying it's nice to be important.
We're not ending the show right now.
Oh, we're not ending the show yet.
Oh, not yet, baby.
Suck. We're gonna let.
What happened?
I think Jake wants to talk after BJ leaves.
Yeah, we're not ending now. It's
we're
only
talk
until
about
another,
BJ.
I'm leaving, but you're staying.
Another hour. Yeah.
I didn't know.
Yeah, that's how
we
it works.
Piping.
Yeah, no, they're playing. It's the Oscar music. He's playing me off.
Play them on.
Peach, when you go, though, leave the tab open for a minute so it can record the rest for everything for me. Thank you. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Peach.
Thanks for having me, guys. Anytime.
Soon or will be more.
Thanks, Peach.
I know BJ used to tell me at Morning Show Boot Camp with you. He's like, I knew from the beginning. But I want to make it clear out there. The first time I ever met you, Weez, that as far as you and I, there was nothing in my head, and I don't think there was anything in your head about me and you.
No.
I was on because my boyfriend was a listener of your show.
Yeah.
And then years went by where I would go off.
He's just saying.
No, but he said he always told me he felt something, but I didn't even feel something, so it's kind of crazy. I always used to say to myself, I do felt like we were meant to be together, so maybe that feeling did show up somehow.
I don't think he was talking about the very beginning.
He must have been because I...
No, after we were... He meant when we were already together.
No, Bob.
No, he didn't.
Bob, you know why? Dad, I know. He left the radio. He left Rochester not long after that first time I went up on your show.
He did?
Yeah, then he was... Because I remember I made him a cake for his going away day.
Really?
Yeah, so I must
You
have.
Made him a cake?
And I remember when he was leaving, Dad was devastated. And... Like I remember how old I was, but I just remember
I was just about to ask how old you were. You don't
I was like young enough to recognize like it was a big deal. Like he was losing like a big thing, and I remember him being like, you know, he's got a better opportunity in Seattle, like it's gonna be better, like, but like I just remember it was a big deal to you. It was the first time you like it really felt like you lost something big on the show.
Yeah, I used to hate losing certain people. He's one of them.
But then you got used to it.
Then what?
Then you had to get used to it, because then you heard a revolving door for a while.
Well, I mean, there were a couple people we had on that show that were terrible that were let go by management.
Right, right.
For some good reasons, some bad reasons. But the only people I hated losing were... Beej, Stephanie Miller, well, a lot of producers, Courtney and Charlie. And
Courtney had to be the producer. That's the other thing I want to ask him. Who was the producer? Because I think the first time I ever went on your show, Courtney was the producer. And then I must have filled in a couple times for Cindy, and that's how I was close enough to BJ to think about making him a cake when he was leaving.
It was filled in on the show back then?
Yeah.
Yeah. Not because of Dad. Dad's producer would call me and say, hey, Cindy can't come in today. Can you come in? And I would come in. And, yeah, so there'll be episodes of that
Did
I'm
Did you get
on.
Paid?
No. Dad would sometimes, they would all go to lunch at Mama Son's. Sometimes he would give me gift cards to someplace or sometimes I went to lunch with you guys, but I would leave work and I'd go back to work. I had a job. I worked at Kodak, and then I would take a half a day off of Kodak and then go back into work for the rest of the day. But I didn't do it very often, just whenever Cindy wasn't going to be there. But Dad wasn't the one that called me. It was always his producer that called me. And that's why the first time Dad ever called me, when his wife broke up with him, and I was always like, why is he calling me? Because he never called me. I was like, this is weird.
Look at his face.
That Weez is calling me. Remember? Because you
had
my number because I had that water skiing accident in Sodus Point. And my friends saw you at Mama San's and told you about my water skiing accident. And
I didn't know the water skiing was in Sodus.
Yeah.
You did?
You never told me it happened in Sodus.
Happened in Sodus, but it was not when I knew Sodus. You know, we didn't. I was at some guy's house that was had a place in Sodus, and we went water skiing. That's when it happened. But so that's how you had my number to call me that time. So
I felt bad because you got beat up with the water ski.
No. I know you called me because they made you call me. But that's how you gained my number, because you never called me when it was when they were asking me to do the radio show. It was always your Charlie or whoever was your producer.
Well, since we're going on and on with this crap, just know I had no intentions.
I know.
Tell the truth.
That's what I'm saying.
That you didn't get to the part.
Oh.
Just shut up, Lucy.
I didn't say anything.
I saw a mug.
When he first called me, he really intended to just you wanted someone to hang out, go to movies and dinner with. That's what
for real. We do nothing.
Yeah, no, I believe it, but like it's not like a bad thing.
No. And we did do that for the longest
time. Nothing.
Even if you did like try to court her, what would be the problem with that? Did she have a boyfriend or like what?
I was broken up with my boyfriend for years, and I would see your dad out. By then, we knew each other. Like if he would
see your dad,
he'd be out at an event, and I would see him, and I knew him enough to go up and say hey, and he would always ask me about my situation and if you, and I broke up with the one guy and I was dating different guys and he used to go, be careful, don't let anybody take advantage of you, because I had a house.
She had her own house at 26 years old with her own money.
23.
She made
23. 24. I'll look up when I built my house. I think I was 23 when I built my house.
She did.
That's insane.
Yeah. I had a good.
Anyway, I fixed her up with two guys to show you honestly. I was trying to set her up.
The times when we would go to dinners and movies, he did. He tried to set me up with guys because he was seeing many various hoes at the time.
Sure, I was seeing women's.
You weren't.
I'm
dating
still confused
anybody.
Why you wanted to make it clear that when you called her, you weren't trying to date her. Like you're trying to protect something, like you could have been. Like, why are you making that clear? I'm confused.
He wants to know why you care about making it clear that day you called me when I met you out for dinner with all those guys that you know that you weren't trying to date me then.
He wants to know why I'm making it clear.
Yeah, why would you be embarrassed?
Because I think nobody believes stuff like that.
Right.
You know, we've heard. I mean, we know one person that they might know that thinks we were banging, you know, and we weren't.
The funny thing is, I think part of the reason, Jake, is we do have such a big age difference. So
thought it was creepy.
We must have had a connection that he felt and I felt or whatever, enough that he wanted to take me to dinners and movies. We would go like every Saturday, I think, if I remember.
Did my daughter just say we were creepy?
No, I mean, did you think that it would have been creepy to ask her on a date because you're so much older than her?
Sort of.
Yeah, exactly.
He definitely did. But
it worked out because I wouldn't be here.
Exactly.
Right.
But you definitely did, because when we did finally officially kiss, and that was from Cindy Pierce pushing. Remember that time at the cottage? Yeah. We all had a lot to drink. And she's like, you guys should be together. And I was like, I don't think so.
I think I have that picture. Of you
Wait,
guys
you were
the front
at
porch.
We were
the
at
cottage
we
as a friend?
In Thousand Islands, yep. By then, Dad and I were going every weekend to movies and dinner.
But wait a minute.
And you were at the cottage as a friend?
Wait, weren't you at the cottage warden once when nothing happened?
And then one time I was there and we were drinking and Cindy was saying that, because she was best friends with his ex-wife, Lucy. So she's like, she doesn't want to be back.
Jake's mom.
She doesn't want him back. Like, because I kept saying, I don't want to be in the middle of
a homewrecker.
Yeah, I'm not going to be accused of being a homewrecker.
Can you see that picture, Lucy?
Can you
zoom in, Jake?
That's your mom in the middle.
That's probably the weekend.
Oh, my God.
Maybe.
Marvin?
Marvin, yeah.
Marvin!
Cindy Pierce.
And we were drinking, and she kept pushing, and then that's the night. And Jake, you were there because you were in bed with Dad. You were sleeping in Dad's room, and I was in your room. I was in your bed, your little twin bed.
Yeah.
And Dad came in and kissed me, and I said,
twin room?
He came in the room, just kissed me.
I didn't get any. Nothing that took a
while. Well, I thought the kiss was like out there on the porch. No. Like that's what I was envisioning.
He like snuck in my room in the middle of the night. It was kind of like freaking me out.
You look like Ashley, your niece, in that picture.
You do look like Ashley.
But I said that after he kissed me, I said, no more welcoming committee, because that's what I used to call the hoes that he would bang.
Oh my God.
After
one kiss, you said no more?
No.
Yes, I did.
Say it then. You did not say it then.
After that kiss, you never were with another girl.
You're nuts.
100%. 100%. 1%. And if you were, you better fuzz up now.
That was it? I don't believe that.
No, because,
I believe it.
Honey, I know 100% after. But we had been together for
30 years right now.
30 years. But we had been together a long time prior to that kiss. Hung out many, many.
So then after the kiss, were you dating?
Yeah, but Dad was secret. So this is the reason I'm bringing it up, Lucy, because to your point, he still would be a little embarrassed. He didn't tell it on the radio. They knew who I was on the radio because he would talk periodically about me, but he wouldn't tell them that we were dating. And we'd go to dinner at like Grinnell's restaurant, and he would hold my hand underneath the bar or underneath the table. He wouldn't let anybody see.
True.
He was still feeling uptight about it because of the age difference, I think.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure a lot of people had a lot to say about it, I'm sure.
I have audio of him telling his mom for the first time on the air about Doreen.
Oh, yeah. Bev was not a fan of me at first. One time she said, Grandma B. Her name was Beverly.
Oh, I thought you called her Beth.
I said Sorry. Bev. I called her Bev.
Bev.
But you guys called her Grandma B, but she...
I didn't call her.
I had to win her over, but I did win her over. She ended up loving me.
Oh,
but
yeah.
In the beginning, again, your dad was a little, you know, shot, you know, had a lot previously just happened to him. So she got to watch her son be pretty hurt. And then here I come, and she just didn't know anything about me. And I remember her one time saying, oh, she's going after you in her little Bobby socks. Remember, she said Bobby socks. I'm like, lady, I'm so young, I don't even know what Bobby socks are.
Well, Jake, I will tell you the funny thing about relationships is that you can't ever regret any of them.
No.
Because look at Lucy. She wouldn't exist.
I hope you don't regret me.
So what are you regretting? Other,
I mean, no Jake.
Right, I
no Abby.
No Diane. Imagine
you were
no Diane.
Life goes, like,
what, Jake?
There's way deeper lessons than your children as to why every relationship should, you know, you shouldn't regret. Like,
I think children is a pretty
deep message.
It's a great one, but like, it's the most obvious one. Like, how about you learned a lesson because of this or that, or became a stronger person, or, you know, you have a kid. Obviously, you're going to have kids. Like, no matter what, you never regret
a child's relationship. Jake. I know a lot of people who had relationships when no kids are involved. They don't look back. They don't ever go, oh, I learned a lot. They just are good riddance, goodbye. Their kids make the difference.
Wait, I know one friend of yours that doesn't seem to care about
those. Those people, Doreen, don't have the self-awareness and aren't the type of people to learn from experiences and things in their lives.
Right.
If everything
Jake
is just
is
bad,
very into
everything that I've done in my life has taught me something. And,
of course.
Right. So you learn things about yourself. You learn a thing. You learn a lot of things in relationships to then make you select a better one in the next time.
So I've learned nothing.
Because you've only had one. That's the whole point.
One boyfriend.
That's my point. You can't take anything.
So I know nothing.
Well, yeah. You know, it's true. You don't.
Or I was so emotionally intelligent that I knew that I wanted no one until I met Adam.
Maybe.
How about that?
Well, let me tell you, since you brought it up, even though this is too fucking long, I feel no one's still watching this, I'm telling you. But in the meantime, your boyfriend caused us so much grief today.
He
it's
didn't
unbelievable.
Cause it.
Why are we thinking that he caused
he
this?
We are not thinking. He did not cause it. The heat in the he's not the reason. We got lucky that it happened while he was there.
Maybe it wouldn't have happened if he wasn't there.
But, Dad, you think Adam broke the fucking furnace? What's Adam doing to break the furnace?
He broke the furnace.
He didn't break the furnace.
I will drive my ass over to Florida right now. You think Adam broke the furnace?
No, we actually got very lucky that it happened while he was there, Bo, because...
Yeah, and now I don't get my boyfriend back for the night.
I know, he's spending the night there. But the fireplace is on.
Well, the fireplace helps.
Yeah, I'm saying he's not going to go home because we don't have heat in the house.
Your furnace broke. My fireplace doesn't work. Hasn't worked since it got cold. And the cold air just comes through it now.
Oh.
And the garage door stopped opening today.
No, that used to happen to us in the cold. The garage door situation. When it gets too cold.
Jake, what's that hat?
Oh, these are the new hats.
That's a patch
hat. I can't see it. Oh, can you hold it closer to the wherever the camera lives?
Wait, I like still can't believe Dad just said that Adam broke the furnace.
I can't believe he said it either. This whole time.
Oh, well, Adam thinks that you blame him,
that's
too.
That's cool.
I'm there grateful for him. Not at all.
I hope so, and I hope you tell him that.
What
said Adam thought I thought it was his fault, too, but I
no.
I am.
Oh.
I've showed nothing but gratefulness for having being there.
You were also screaming at me. You were also screaming at me when you were on the phone, so I can understand why he might have thought that. It's just you were in such a, like, fight or flight moment that it seemed like, you know, you were taking your aggression out through, like, your conversations, not at
I don't
us.
Think I even Bubby, yelled at I never Bubby. Yelled at Adam once.
Bubby, Bubby, I don't want to embarrass you on
You're
the
not pot. Gonna.
Okay, well, listen to me. What you see, what yelling. Other people feel you did, you can't say you didn't do it.
No, I didn't
because
say.
They feel it.
I yes. understand
and
that.
And something has to happen for them to feel it.
No, yeah. I
what, Lucy, right. what right. do you You're think?
Right. No, yeah, you. It's fine though. Like you don't have to be like.
No,
we understand.
Defensive
that
about it.
We understand. Like I hope we understand. I understand that. Like when you're screaming,
but
you're not mad at me. You're mad at something else, and that you're just screaming.
Kind of like how Dad was yelling at you, but he wasn't mad at you at the radio. Right. He was mad at the situation.
Exactly.
But Adam's not used to that. So when someone's yelling on the phone, his mom's probably never raised his
voice. Oh, you even yelled at him?
I didn't yell at him. What? So that's why I
you,
no.
Well, in his head, it probably felt like you were yelling
at him. You were yelling
at him.
At him, but you weren't yelling at him. You were yelling through at Dad.
He didn't
look
it up that you were yelling.
Yeah, okay. But
He felt terrible. Like he felt like you were mad at him.
All right. Well, I'll have to call him because I know I was.
No, because now he's going to be mad at me.
No, he won't. I was just trying
to. Yes, because he said, don't tell your mom.
We're trying to grow from this. And this is exactly what I'm talking about. Like, when we can, like, have open communication and, like, be mature about telling someone they're yelling at somebody and understanding that we're not blaming you or pointing fingers. We're just observing why this is happening. So when we get yelled at, we don't take it personally. Like, Adam, if he knew that, would have just laughed it off like me and Lucy do. Like,
I don't laugh it off.
You're the only one, Jake, you're the only one that gets it. Lucy doesn't. I don't either, Lucy.
Wait, get what?
The fact that when someone's screaming at you, they're not screaming at you. I don't get it, believe me.
Well, you do it too, Dad.
Do what?
Oh,
when I'm screaming at you, I'm screaming at you.
Dad, when you were screaming at mom at the radio on your last show, you weren't screaming at her because you were mad at her. You were mad at the situation.
When you were yelling at the radio show, she's saying the last radio show, when you were
That's a whole different. I wasn't yelling at her.
Yeah, so,
but you were.
But you were. And everyone thought you were abusive because you were yelling at her face. But the whole point was you weren't really yelling at her. You were just mad.
I was
and
yelling
that's why
at,
mom was yelling
I
today.
Was yelling at what management told her to do.
Yeah. Right.
He said they're fucking your brain.
Listen, it's where the phrase "don't shoot the messenger" comes from.
Very right.
Good. Okay? Like we're just the conduit of whatever it is in that case. But in the other case of her yelling at me or Adam or Dad yelling because he's mad at something else, we're taking our frustrations in the world out on each other because there's no one else to do that to but the person you're talking to or having to deal with in that moment.
All right, before we close this podcast, this is the first guest podcast. We'll have one every week. I'm so excited for who we pick. There's so many people that want to be on. But I want to tell Jake before what we get to see on the screen and what I guess some of it was shown to the audience. But this was hard for me to look at Bob Rivers' whole show.
I know.
such a beautiful guy that had to die, and you got his obituary.
I don't see it for the audience, for a few housekeeping notes before we go. If you're listening to this and you don't know, there is a video version. If you prefer to listen, that's fine, but there will be much more rich multimedia in the video version. That plus, watch it on your television, because like it's use the YouTube app on your TV, or if you don't have a smart TV, go get a Roku box thing for $30 and you can do it. I think the best experience is through the television, and you get to see.
I have to interrupt and say, you know, I'm technologically an idiot like a lot of other things, but I watched my first time on the big screen. Oh my God, Jake.
Yeah.
I'm going, this, people were writing, this looks like Netflix. So, I mean, I don't know what it will be like just listening to this. You got to look at it.
Because a lot of people
Jake
just
put
listen.
Up today on this episode, there were so many pictures on screen of what we were talking about. It's phenomenal. Yeah. And to hear it's probably nothing.
Yeah, well, there's a podcast I love that is video, and sometimes I listen to it in the shower, so I can't see it. But like,
you gotta see it.
They'll talk about things that they're showing, and you can't see it.
So you gotta see it.
And then the last thing, I'm gonna launch these hats on the website. Probably by the time this goes live, you can go to the Weeze Family Circus website to.
Is it up?
By the time this launches, it will be, yes. So you can buy a hat. There's only limited quantities, so it might sell out. And then everything else will launch very soon, I promise.
We're trying to source locally for everything, right, Jake? Is that
Yeah. I have to get final pricing and then put everything up on the site, but everything else is pretty much figured out. I got all the shipping taken care of. We're going to be mailing these things out personally, so I want to make sure the quality and everything checks all the boxes. So in the first like 30 orders are going to get a free bumper sticker, Weeze bumper sticker. And then we'll have more stickers.
All bumper sticker. You're embarrassing me again. What a treat. Bumper stickers are free for everybody anywhere. I've been living with bumper stickers for 40 years, bro. We get them out there on the car.
Yeah, but, you know, prices.
Yeah, I'm not saying the first 30, I have only 30. So then.
You only so have 30. Okay, that makes sense.
Just get one whether you want one or not.
Yeah.
You don't order it.
It sounded like you were implying after that they were for sale. Don't ever sell a bumper sticker.
No, they'll be packaged gifts once we have a dollar to spend on something else, because there isn't any yet. So,
all right, because this is the powder, so we love it. Please keep watching. We'll keep trying our best. This one, I don't think you can beat this. This was too good, Jake, with the visuals. This was too phenomenal.
I'm going to have
Did you say this is the powder?
Yeah, why are you saying the powder?
What is
He's
that
saying, like, you know, when you take a powder,
you
take a pass.
You know how to take a powder?
When you take a powder, you say goodbye.
I have no idea what that means.
Oh, man, what are you kids today?
See, this is the powder?
That's when you leave.
I'm thinking he's talking about, like, the powder snow outside or something.
Powder my balls.
Okay, what?
But we were talking about that last night.
His baby powder?
Yes.
Yeah, ball powder.
Well,
okay.
So this is the Weeze Family Circus brought to you
by Clark Peshkin. Go see him, man. Learn about estate planning. Well, obviously, you could do your divorce or big-time divorce lawyers.
Family law, divorce law, but they also are the experts in estate planning, wills, and trusts. They have free workshops. Go check it out. It is worth it. So you can sign up on the WeezeFamilyCircus.com website or the Clark Peshkin website /Weeze.
It's free and it's important. People don't know about estate planning. They think a will. A will is not enough. With a will, your kids are going to have to go to probate, got to go to court, and they they end up taxing on your house. All you got to do is go to the seminar with Brother Clark, and you'll learn and do what you got to do. Don't do it. Do it. But it's free. Get educated. We're out of here. It's nice to be important.
But it's more important to be nice.
Hey,
Shaq.
What?
Listen, I'm bringing, you have to have brunch with my girlfriend.
A girlfriend?
Yeah.
What, she doesn't know?
What, are you kidding me?
Whoa, Shecky, you don't know about this?
No.
Oh, he's bringing down, what do you think I meant when I said Doreen Manicotti?
I don't know, honey.
I meant Doreen.
I don't know what you're talking about.
That's his new girlfriend. You want to know how old she is?
Why, what do you got? What do you gotta start around?
Cindy knocked me down.
You want to know?
Yeah.
Wait.
Well, it's better she knows now. I'm setting her up and getting her ready.
27.
26.
Now.
7. Give her the 7, will you please?
27. She's an engineer, though.
And a dancer.
At Kodak.
That and a half a dollar will get you a cup of coffee.
Hey, what? The half dollar. You're absolutely right.
No, she's you know what, Shaq? Under the circumstances, it's all a tragedy, but she's a very nice girl.
You're going to really like her.
You will like her. I know, Shaq, what are you going
to
do?
How can I like her when I have to settle first business first? I have nothing against her. I mean,
I know, I
got
gotcha.
There's no business to settle. That's forget that business.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Which business is that?
Oh, how okay. many business is there?
In the meantime, my first business is in the hospital.
Who's Sandy?
Yeah.
That's right.
She's in the hospital.
That's right.
She's doing well, though, Shaq.
Well, her mom called me last night.
Oh, good.
And,
I know.
But, of course, I'm worried about her.
I am, too, and she's one of my dearest friends, so you can imagine it's tough.
I know, dear. I know where you're sitting.
I know where I'm sitting. It ain't a pretty place. But
no,
I
it isn't.
But I got to tell you, Doreen's a nice girl.
Well, I'm glad for everybody concerned.
I know. You're not, though. You're kind of pissed. And I don't blame you.
Well, anyhow...
Man, you
can care.
Shecky.
Shecky's mad. Why do you make her go to lunch?
You got to be nice.
I got to be nice?
Yes.
I got to guarantee you this?
Yes.
Why, for God's sake, you got to be kidding.
I'm not kidding.
Well, then don't invite me.
Look a peek
boys
at this.
Boys, boys, she can't make guarantees.
Whoever heard it is.
It is a little soon.
Well, so what you are you preparing me for God's sake?
To be nice.
Be nice? That isn't hard.
And then Thanksgiving, too, you know.
Now, is that so?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know anything.
Boy.
See, no one has let Shecky in on this.
You get dumped, and you're just trying to rebuild your life. Man, I mean, what else can you do? Life goes on. You got to be happy. Don't you want this kid to be
These
happy?
These old people, I don't know what they want me to do.
You want this kid to be happy, don't you?
Well, I think certain things are personal and private, and I'm not going to discuss my affairs on the air for the whole world to hear.
I don't blame you, Shecky.
All right, Shaq.
My son can do that, but not me.
All right, Shaq.
All right, how's your weather? Have you got snow yet?
No, snow is 70.
70.
You're kidding.
Nope.
Well, I'll be damned.
70, baby.
Well, it's awful warm down here, but I haven't been swimming for a week because of all the rains.
Have you seen any gators?
No.
No gators?
They're washed into the ocean already.
Remember that one used to live behind your house?
Yeah, he went to better fields.
All right, Shaq, I'll talk.
Okay, thanks for the call, and I'll be looking forward to hearing from you. At least I can hear from you when you come down.
I'll be down Thursday night, I'll call you.
Well, I say I can hear from you if I don't see you.
I'll be calling you off the air to fight with you.
Oh, on the air?
Off the air.
Oh, off the air. All right, we'll have a good bout.
Boy.
Just be prepared.
Boy.
Oh, you are.
Boy.
Okay, kids, goodbye.
Bye.
Love you, Shecky.
Love you all.
Dad.
Bye.